irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, July 1st, and we're starting a new month. The summer is officially here now, right?
Yes.
Jen, July is a summer month.
It is. Doesn't look like it today, though.
Yeah. Well, at least in the northern hemisphere, it is. Some people would beg to differ and say July is the middle of their winter.
Yes.
If they're in Australia or South Africa or something, you know. Wow. It's gotten hot out there, huh?
It is.
In fact, it's warm in here, too.
It is.
Right?
It's muggy.
Do you want to try and turn it down a little bit?
Sure.
Yeah? Okay. It's right behind you over there. It's on the top. And if you can just lower it to the left or something. I don't know. Usually we come in here, it's freezing in the morning, and today it's kind of warm. But it's muggy outside, actually. But we're good with that. You know, it could be worse.
It could be.
People are saying that, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? I can't find it. That's fine.
I don't know, but it better not rain today. I have a busy day.
The humidity. Okay, that's what I'm trying to find. The humidity is not as bad as in other places, I imagine.
No, I'm
right?
from Miami.
Yeah.
It's worse there.
It is, right?
Much.
So there you tend to not do your hair very much, right? Not you, but generally.
Yeah, you find other solutions like gel. There was a point in time when I only put gel in my hair and I would just let it air dry and
really?
Whatever happened, happened.
Yeah.
And then your hair would get kind of crunchy because there was like too much gel. It was a whole problem.
Right. Yeah. I know. And women with curly hair, it's even a bigger problem.
I think so.
You know, yeah. So they don't try hard, I guess. After a while, you just say, well, you know, what the hell? Every day is a bad hair day.
I know. It's just every day is a different hair day. Yeah. Like you literally cannot prepare for what your hair will look like. There's no consistency.
Oh, well, what are you going to do, right?
As long as it doesn't rain today, I'm good to go.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to rain. Do you?
I don't know.
It kind of looks like it, huh?
Yeah, and then yesterday it rained a little bit.
Did it really?
Yeah.
I guess when it gets this humid, it starts raining, huh?
I think that's usually the process.
Yeah. Sure, give me a hard time. That's fine.
That's what I'm here for.
We have a couple of guests waiting in the wings here. We'll bring them in just a second. Did you hear that Macy's dumped Donald Trump this morning?
Not surprised. I didn't hear it, huh? But everyone is.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what is wrong with this guy, but he's that's not a good way to get publicity, I don't think. You know,
no.
You don't say things like this. So everybody's dumping him.
In this case, bad publicity is bad publicity.
Exactly. You know, when it costs him that much money, I was reading it's already costing him like $80 million, all those you know, the companies that severed ties with him and stuff.
Yeah.
So
I can't say that I feel bad.
Yeah, he's got it coming for him, you know. Maybe this will straighten him out a little bit, although I don't think anything will. You know, I mean, this man was totally bankrupt and everything, and everybody's joke, and he rose back, you know.
Right.
So we'll see. But it's hard to imagine you have someone like that on TV and, you know, and that people respect him.
I just can't imagine how you can be so bad in the public eye, like you just are a loose cannon, but so good at business. Because I feel like if you're good at business, you have tact.
Right.
You know how to present yourself and deal with other
right.
people.
You because think, right?
A lot of business is relationships. So how he has any relationships, but yet can say these things about an entire population of people, I have no idea.
Yeah. You know what? The thing is that I know there are plenty of a-holes that somehow make it in business. I don't know how, because it's not, business is not about being nice necessarily, you know. I agree with you that you have to be on good terms with people. There's no doubt about
it. Well, or you have to have people that work for you that are nice.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
They have to represent you in a way that you can then just...
Yeah. Some people are just really shrewd, you know, that they get everything going on for them. But eventually it comes back to bite you, I think.
I think so.
Yeah.
Everyone hangs themselves.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and like you said, a loose cannon, that's exactly what he is.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's a good freak show to watch. And, you know.
He is making it interesting. I mean, thank God there's something in the news that's, like, laughable.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that, like, the Mexican population thinks it's that funny, but.
No, I don't think so.
But it's interesting to watch this happen to Donald Trump because he's always been Donald Trump.
And to see how he's hanging himself, you know, on his own rope. You know?
Right. And not that we want him to. It's just, it so happens.
Yeah,
that
that's what he does, you know.
Right.
That's what he does. So. I realize that Friday is a holiday, actually, so we're not going to be here. I don't know. I got an email this morning saying, okay, so are we good for Friday? I didn't even finish reading the whole thing, but I must have planned something. I mean, it's not even on the calendar, so what's going on? I don't know. I think somebody else made a mistake there, but we'll see. A couple of other things I wanted to mention were actually, I didn't prepare at all for this, but I guess ISIS continues to attack everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
And we're still sitting by looking at it. And I mean, there's, every day I read, now they started decapitating women, too. Did you hear that?
No.
Yeah. So that's a new thing for sorcery and witchcraft. So,
what?
Yeah. They don't need good reasons, Jen. You know, they just need anything. They don't even need a reason. They just do this, you know? And the what's most different about them than previous jihadists before is that they're using social media so well, so effectively, making videos and all that. So they're able to recruit a lot of people and spread their propaganda. So I don't think there hasn't been anything this dangerous since World War II, and I don't understand why everybody's just sitting idle by, not really doing much. People talk a lot, but you know, there's a lot of different answers for this, but for the whole world to sit there impotent and watch people being tortured and destroyed and decimated, I mean, I just don't understand. I don't understand how we can sit and watch. But at any rate, enough of that stuff. Let's bring in our guests who are sitting here patiently, and this is going to be a lot more fun than this stuff that we're talking about.
Yes.
Yeah. So we have Tina and Margie in the studio. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You need to get close to the mic.
Yes.
There you go. And Tina, your last name is Aldatz, is that how it is?
Aldatz.
Uh-huh. Okay, so I said it wrong, of course. I should have asked you before.
Well, in New York, they said Aldatz and a bag of chips.
Really?
That's cute.
Cool. What is the origin of the name?
My last name is actually Basque. I'm half Mexican and Basque, and then my other half is Irish and Danish.
Really?
Yeah, so don't piss me off and don't get me drunk.
Yeah, okay.
Good or really bad.
We'll have to remember that.
Especially in studio. We don't know what could happen.
Right, exactly. And then your friend Margie Flores. Hi, welcome to the show, Margie.
Hello, thank you. Happy to be here.
Absolutely. And so you guys are proud to be Mexicans, right?
Well, I'm the only Mexican.
Oh, you're not, Margie?
She's actually Colombian and Spanish, so really
Oh, okay,
don't
so I assumed,
off.
Yeah. I,
Yikes.
But obviously both beautiful Hispanic ladies.
Yes.
And you're from Colombia, or your name is originally from Colombia?
My mother is from Colombia, and my dad is from Barcelona.
Really?
So, but
wow, what a great mix, huh?
It is.
So where did they meet?
In Barranquilla, Colombia.
Oh, really? Yes. So he was traveling? Or?
He was. He was a sports journalist, and they met at a soccer game.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was it. Cupid's arrow hit, and it was all over.
Yeah. He's like, wow, I met this beautiful Colombian woman, you know.
Exactly.
Wow. Very cool. So when did they so they met there, and then they immigrated here? To the States?
Exactly. My grandmother lived in Paterson, New Jersey. She left Colombia and to start a new life. To you know, we're a first generation immigrant family, and my mother was able to come and follow, and then my father followed her.
Oh wow.
So,
cool.
Yeah.
And Tina, tell us a little bit about your background. You were born here, right? In the States?
Yes, I was
born
here.
But your parents are from?
Well, both of my parents are native Californians.
Oh, okay. Right, so this is like a few generations.
Oh, yeah, East LA. My grandmother, all of my grandparents are immigrants. My grandmother was from Mexico, and my mother's father was actually from Ireland.
Wow.
So I came from the bottom of the barrel on both sides of the immigration stream there.
The whiskey barrel.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. So you guys are good friends, right?
We're best friends.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And business
Jen
partners.
Has a best friend too, and they're like inseparable as well.
Yeah.
With Lauren, who's going to be here tomorrow, right?
Yep.
Cool. So how long have you known each other now?
Oh, let's just say 15 plus years. Yeah. We okay. didn't really want to.
How did you guys meet?
Well, we actually met. We were both in the fashion industry. We worked for a designer called Max Azria of BCBG.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Margie was in charge of international sales, and I was the merchandising director. And he put us together and said, take the collection global. So we immediately started traveling to Europe. One of our very first trips was a huge trip to London, working with all of the major, like, swanky department stores, Selfridges, Harrods, you know, everybody. And it was just so hot. It was so cool and rad. Imagine two chicks in their 20s and we're traveling abroad and, you know, going to London, meeting with the hottest buyers and, you know, publicists and Vogue and everybody. It was just so cool. We were on the top of our game. It was really a fun time.
Right. So you had similar backgrounds. You both wanted to be in fashion, right? Before you even knew each other.
That's kind of how we connected, because we were coincidentally the only Latinas in the in our showroom in this, you know, very Jewish dominated garment center. So we realized that we had a lot in common, although we kind of hated each other at first.
No, you didn't.
Oh, yeah, she totally. Well, she hated me. I didn't know that, you know, she didn't like me, but it happens to me a lot. I piss people off, and then
she knew, trust me. But then, you know, once we fell in love, it's, you know, as friends or, you know, as far as friendships go, it's
That's very cool. Now, why do you get pissed off?
Oh man, just I don't know. Throw something at me. Let's see if it happens.
You're like fire, right?
Oh yeah, I'm like fire. I'm like, you know, I'm kind of like Donald Trump. A little bit of a. I think he's a little misunderstood. I'm Mexican, and I understood what he was talking about. It didn't offend me in the way that others, I think, took it, because I'm often misunderstood. I happen to be brutally honest, and sometimes that doesn't work to my favor, you know?
Yeah, people don't like to hear everything, the truth.
Yes. Sometimes. There's a nicer way to say things, but that doesn't occur to me at the time that I say it.
That also takes longer usually. Who's got time for that?
Yeah, you know, not me.
She makes the messes and I clean them up. So.
Yeah, we're like that.
That's a good pair.
Much what happens.
Yeah, exactly. You compliment each other
Lucy
that way.
Lucy and Ethel is what we call each other. So she's the obviously she's Lucy.
Yeah. or on Pulp Fiction, I'm like the guy that cleans that makes the big mess, and then we call in the wolf, and then she has to clean up the car.
Yeah.
Well, like one of the things that pisses me off when and I found as an entrepreneur, this is the way that you kind of discover what you're good at and what you're not good at,
right?
And it's more important to know what you're not good at and then find people that are good at those
things. And
have
them do it,
right? So one of the things that really pissed me off is when I was trying to sell our products when we first started our initial company called Foot Pedals, I would try to sell these products to buyers, and then the buyer would object, like, you know, here's my product, here your cost will be, you know, $5 and you're going to sell it for $10 in your store, and now I could buy this for $1, and I'd be like, good, you should, because you're never going to buy it from me. So, you know, I would go nuts, and then Margie was like, oh my god, you need to like get yourself
leave
out of this
right
booth
now.
Yeah, your negative energy. Obviously I didn't understand the art of negotiation.
Yeah, I know. I used to be like that, too. In fact, about 15 years ago, I tried my luck in selling cars, right?
Oh.
And I spent a year trying to do this, but I was not very successful because I was too honest, and I was getting irritated with the customers, you know?
Well, and then you probably take it personally because you, like, develop these products, and you're like, no, I want to sell it for more. Don't insult my product.
Oh, my gosh. Exactly. It was like a knife to the heart. I couldn't take it, and then I would just, you know, and then I would just ban them from life for selling our
product.
You're never going to sell. One day you'll beg me for it, you know?
Yeah. So then you started learning that business is a little different.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And also learning when to step back and maybe, you know, kind of going back to that loose cannon comment that you made, like, you know, learn when to step back, learn what you're good at, and then put the people that are really good at those traits or personality traits, go let them do what they do best.
Right.
Isn't that what they say about good leadership is actually just surrounding yourself with the right people?
Right.
That's like half the battle.
And being able to delegate too, right. You know. Mm-hmm. In fact, I just had this talk with my accountant who said, you got to give more of what you do to other people. Mm-hmm. Because it's stuff I don't like to do, so I just procrastinate.
Oh, totally.
You know, but what's the point? You know, just have somebody else do it. Yeah. You focus on what you're good at.
Exactly. You don't bottleneck it. It's just the worst thing to do.
Yeah, so
bottlenecking
you're right.
is a good term because, you know, when you're turning, everything has to go through a funnel. And if you're that funnel, you're
That's
either
true.
Causing a blockage or, right. you know, it's just not going to run.
That's a good analogy. I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. It makes sense. So food pedals, tell us a little bit about that. Is that something you both did yourselves or together, I mean?
Yes.
Together, yeah.
Okay.
As a child, I suffered third degree burns on both of my feet. It wasn't like some weird family ritual or anything. Actually, it was an accident on the beach in Santa Monica. I stepped over hot coals that were buried in the sand.
Really?
From a barbecue pit. And I hope people are aware of that this 4th of July. You know, everybody goes to the beach.
Oh, my God. Right.
So I was just running along the beach and sizzle. Oh, my God. My feet were burned up. So critical, like really, really bad. And they remained forever sensitive. Well, that didn't help when I grew up and became in love with stilettos and then moved from Orange County to New York City and had to walk in stilettos every day for miles. I was like, you know, it was a crippling pain. So anyway, what do they say? Necessity is the mother of invention. And so I invented these little cushions that make women's high heels comfortable.
Wow.
And it was a designer insole. Mm-hmm. Since we worked in designer fashion, came up with that and then called Margie and said, look, I have this idea. If I create the product, will you sell it? Because we all know how I don't know how to sell. So she said, yeah. And then flash forward 10 years later, we sold the company for $14
million. Are you serious?
Yeah, man.
Wow.
I'm totally serious.
After 10 years?
After 10 years, yeah.
Wow.
And that's what they say. Like 10 years is that tipping point, you know, where you really like become the experts or, you know, a brand becomes the most recognized. Mm. So we sold it. We stayed on for a little while. And then we were traveling so much. We together, after we sold the company, I felt like I lost my identity. So I kind of took a couple steps back and I wrote a book.
Oh, wow.
And that's the book that I gave you called From Stilettos to the Stock Exchange.
Right. And we'll get to the book, too. Definitely. But go on.
So when we sold the company, we were kind of thinking, what are we going to do now? We wanted to still do something together.
Right.
And
gee, with $14 million, I wouldn't ask that too many times. I would,
you know, but there were partners in the business, so I didn't get the whole $14. I only had it for like one day, and then we had to divvy it up, you know?
Right. It's not as easy as it sounds.
But it's good. Yeah. It must feel good. How many employees did you have at the time?
We had
15.
Yeah.
15. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty...
In-house, and then, of course, a factory sense. And... an accounting department. So
you had your own factory too.
Our partners own the factory. So
I see. Okay.
We were made in America and supported American manufacturing in Ohio.
Oh my God! This one. Our mayor of the town where we manufactured the cushions actually declared July 1st Foot Pedals Day because we created so many jobs. Yeah, in Wadsworth, Ohio.
Where's the champagne?
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Or tequila, you know.
Yeah. So now, but you obviously didn't have any experience in creating padded soles for shoes and things like this. Mm-hmm. How did you go about it? I mean, you obviously thought of the idea, right? You felt, what if something softer was underneath my feet, right?
Absolutely.
So, I mean, had you tried anything before that already existed?
Yes, I was using cushions in my shoes, you know, since I was a kid because I was always trying to alter the fit or wear strappy heels and things and always buying those little like cushions that you buy in the pharmacies and cutting them, trimming them, making them fit in sandals is all next to impossible. So
right.
I found a material that actually worked, but it was only a little small component of another cushion. So I did some research, and I didn't even have a computer at home. I called a friend of mine at work, and she was like on her lunch break looking it up, and then gave me a 1-800 number, and I tried to call that manufacturer, and it's all, Dina, if you know the extension, I was like, oh, God. You know, so I started making up extensions, and lo and behold, I finally broke through to this marketing guy.
Wow.
And it all kind of, you know, when you're persistent, passionate, I think you can get people's attention. And I was like, hey, I'm not a lunatic, you know?
You know, well, you seem pretty persistent to me. You know?
I mean,
you're not going to take no for an answer easily, right?
Right.
Yeah. Now, so so the company was both of yours, right?
Yes.
And so you, now, did you warm up to the idea right away when she brought it up?
You know, I was managing a big apparel company at the time, and, you know, my career was really, really crazy, and I came and, of course, saw her in California because she had moved back, and she showed me the product, and it was Market Week, so LA Market Week at the time, and I said, you know what, give me the sample. I have meetings with Urban Outfitters, with, you know, Bloomingdale's and all these big retailers, let me show them and see what they say. And everyone just was like, wow, that's such a great idea. You know, can we try it in our shoes? And so a few weeks later, after I called and said, hey, did you ever put those in your shoes? And they said, yeah, we really love it. That's when I knew we had something. And we just went for it, you know, just rolled the dice. And we never, ever thought that we wouldn't fail. That wasn't an option. So between the both of us, we felt really passionate about it.
And this was the first time it was for both of you to actually start your own business?
Yes.
I had started other businesses when I was younger, like, you know, recycled vintage clothing and things like that. So I've always been a little entrepreneurial and creative.
Right.
But as a real official business and gaining, you know, an angel investor right off the bat, and then, you know, going into serious production and distribution, that was the first time.
Wow, so this was like new, all new to you guys.
But we were paid a lot of money to do this for fashion designers. So we really were experts in our industry, and we knew retail, we knew our business. And that's something that I always say to people, what are you getting paid to do? You're making somebody else a lot of money.
Right.
So, you know, at a certain point, you can ask yourself, if you have that inclination, could I do this on my own?
Exactly. Make it from on my own and rather than work for somebody else. Yeah, that's true. So you guys decided to go on your own. Did you have to leave the companies you were working at eventually?
Oh, well, I already had lost my job at the time. That's why I came up with the desperate idea. I made a leap out of the fashion industry and tried to go into the dot-com boom. And
really?
The dot-com went doggone. So
we went into it 100%, like, just didn't even think twice. We left everything and just started it and focused 100%.
Very cool. So now the company was started here in California?
Yeah, in Santa Monica.
Okay. But you guys met in New York, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So is that where you grew up?
That's where I grew up. I just moved to California last August.
Really?
Yeah.
So all this time you guys were like back and forth?
Bi-coastal. Yes.
Wow.
It actually worked really well because it cut back on travel. A lot of business is done in New York, but also a lot of the PR and media is done here in California. So it worked to our advantage.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Very cool. So so you ended up selling the company. How come? You guys have had enough?
No, it was strategic. We really wanted the company. We had a vision, you know, where there's a certain point where either you're going to keep going with the brand or you outgrow it and you decide to pass it on to somebody that's going to take it, you know, leaps and bounds beyond what you could personally do.
Right.
It's kind of like a kid, you know, you grow it up to a certain point and then you got to like let them go fly.
Right. Exactly. So. Exactly. And you got to let somebody else actually run it because it's a bigger company than you know how to manage.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it was sold to this like publicly traded company.
Really?
And we got a lesson. Oh my gosh. Learning how to work under a publicly traded company is very difficult because here we were used to calling the shots. Yeah. Boss, you know, we're the bosses. Everything we say goes.
Right.
There was a board of directors, a boss, a meeting to have. I was going,
to answer to everybody all of a sudden. Huh?
Yeah. It was difficult. Difficult thing. Some people, for entrepreneurs, I think it's a hard thing to understand.
So
I was out of there, needless to say.
Yeah.
So, Margie lasted a lot longer than I did.
Oh, really? So you stayed there after?
I did. I stayed there for a while to just kind of implement our company into their systems and work with the sales team and just kind of let everything, leave everything in a place where I knew the brand would live.
Yeah.
You know, for a long life.
Yeah. So, I mean, you guys must have been proud. I mean, the thing is that many people would like to start a company, a multi-million dollar company, but not everybody is able to do that. And there you are, you know, meeting success in that early on. And I mean, that's
well, it wasn't successful early on. Trust me. It was very hard.
In your lives, were broke. I mean, no?
Yeah. But in our lives, we were fairly young for selling, you know, our company.
But it was obviously hard in the beginning. No company starts at the top.
Oh, man. Yeah. There were so many challenges. It was hard, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. So you got out of it, and then what did you decide to do? Margie, so wait, you stayed there longer. So what did you do first, Tina?
I had stayed only for a year and a half, and then I took some personal time off to do community work. So I've worked with, went on the board of directors for Girls Incorporated of Orange County, and then I started a mentor program for the Hispanic 100 Foundation. I mentor 18 to 25-year-old overachievers within the Hispanic community, and it's really exciting. And then I also wrote a book, mm-hmm. and in addition to that, I co-produced a film which related to immigration. So it starred Eva Longoria, Ed Harris, Michael Pena, called Frontera.
Really?
Yes,
wow.
And it really highlighted the immigration problems. Being half Mexican, I felt like I really wanted to kind of put my money where my mouth is. I feel like people complain a lot about politics, but if you're not going to do something about it, then maybe you should just shut up. Right?
Yeah, that's so, true. Yeah. That's a good idea.
Yeah, it's such a good movie, though, you guys. You should Netflix it.
Yes,
really?
Totally. Yeah. Frontera.
Frontera.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
really,
I mean, these are like big actors.
Oh, yeah, big time. Yeah, yeah. It was.
So you wrote the film?
No. I invested in it, and I worked with the producers. I was a co-producer. And I acted as the spokesperson on behalf of the production company. Funny enough, the producers that put all the money in to produce the film were all Republicans, including myself. And the actors were all Democrats. So there was a tendency to have, you know, this was going to spark conversation, right?
Yeah,
so
right.
We had to do a press circuit, and I had to represent the Republican side, and Eva Longoria was more representing the Democrat side. So it was kind of fun, and like I said, you know, if you want to be something, you got to do something about it. And that was my opportunity to put some time and effort into our community.
Yeah. And when did the movie come out?
It was out last year. Yeah, just a year ago. So it's still on Netflix and Amazon, all of those. You can download it. It's a great
film.
Very
cool, yeah. Well, quite an accomplishment, you know.
Thank you.
I mean, being part of a film and everything.
Yeah.
And so, and Margie, and then you left the company. What did you decide to do?
We decided to start our new company, Savvy Traveler. Tina and I, of course, remained, you know, very, very close. We speak a few times a day, and we just kind of kept kicking ideas around on what we wanted to do, and nothing really felt authentic. You know, a lot of companies approached us with propositions to maybe run their company or consult for them, but,
well,
you know.
So you've established a reputation.
Exactly. We're very, very lucky to have a great reputation in the industry and developed really great friendships and relationships as a result of owning Foot Pedals and being in the fashion industry. So we just kind of started brainstorming. And, you know, I've always loved the idea of having on-the-go products like wipes or towelettes, something that I always use as a makeup remover or, you know, as a nail polish remover. So we kind of took that idea and we decided to develop a collection of products called Savvy Traveler, which are on-the-go travel products, you know, really high-end, disposable, single-use luxury towelettes.
Whoa.
And they all have really cool names, I noticed.
Yeah, No Sweat and, you know, kind of...
And what does No Sweat do? That just, like, takes...
Oh, my gosh. No Sweat is my favorite thing in the whole world because I never bring my deodorant when I travel. I just forget all the time. So I'd like do hairspray. I mean, it's like ridiculous, you know. But I borrow hers. We usually have adjoining rooms. And I'm like, I borrow your deodorant. So No Sweat is an actual sheet, a wipe that you can use underneath.
It's antiperspirant and deodorant together.
So you just wipe underneath, and it's great for women or men, especially we wear black a lot. As you can see, I have a black dress on. So it doesn't leave any stains. So you have like no stains.
That's
on top
amazing.
Of it, yeah, on top of it working wonderfully all day, by the way, no stains.
So I mean, awesome. You're always with your girlfriends and they're like, I think I smell. Like,
yeah. Or, you know,
no
when
matter
you're driving
what.
Down the street, like, oh my God, did I forget to put deodorant on?
Like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it's just the worst because you're walking into a meeting and I'm like, wait, you know.
So like, uh-oh, like, something's
yeah,
missing.
Yeah, wait, something's missing, or, you know. But, so.
Or, you know, in between, maybe going from one where a lot of times we drive here in California, driving in the car for a long time, or you go from the gym
just
to
long haul flights.
Yeah.
You know, we travel a lot and that's why it's Savvy Traveler.
Yeah.
So are all of your products in sheet format?
Yes.
They're all individual wipes.
It kind of looks like a condom sheets. In the package.
Yeah. So,
anything to attract people,
that's
right?
That's right. Why you not? Know, start a conversation like, hey, buddy, would you like to join the Smile High Club? It's the, and those are like the speakeasy mouth wipes.
Yeah, so we have the mouth wipes.
That's cute. It's called Speakeasy.
Yeah, so Speakeasy. This one's really cool. It's you just open it up and you can wipe your teeth, your lipstick off.
Really?
If you're drinking
your
red
teeth?
Wine. Yeah,
yeah,
so
for coffee and red wine.
So you can like... It's got a really light mint flavor.
Yeah, it does.
It's not anything overpowering, but the cool thing
and
is...
And it removes any kind of food that you may have had if you just had, you know, a muffin or something for breakfast.
Or coffee or red
wine. I drink a lot of coffee and red wine, so this is, I need this in every purse.
Oh, my gosh. You know, when you get red
like gum,
wine.
Like spearmint gum.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Yes. I love spearmint, by the
very
way.
Very cool.
My favorite.
But people should know not to eat it. It's more like to...
I'm so sure.
To
I don't know. Try it. Take a bite.
It's a wipe.
I mean, it's only
I'm sure it'll pass.
You know, I didn't use deep paper.
Very cool.
All the time.
And well, obviously, you paid a lot of attention to the packaging. I mean, it's awesome packaging. You know?
Yeah, it looks very space age. Like, I actually thought it was like,
well, like
something to do with NASA.
Yeah,
that's like, what we were thinking.
That's the whole thing. It's aerodynamic.
Really?
We were thinking, like, you know how Virgin Airlines, where he's like taking reservations to go to the moon eventually?
Yeah.
And we're like, this is something that people could take to the moon. It's that simple and easy, right?
That's true.
Yeah.
Instead of your deodorant, take that. Yeah.
It looks like, space food packaging.
Yes,
almost.
That's what it was inspired. By. You
How
totally
cool.
got it.
Just
you totally
kind of
got
slip it.
It
in your back pocket or, you know, in your briefcase. It's for men or women and it's just easy.
Right.
You know, we were just against checking bags at airports. So
I hate checking bags.
Oh my gosh, we're so against it. So our mission now is, can we do a carry-on? If
we
do a one-day
trip,
a two-day trip, a 10-day trip, could we do a carry-on?
I like this challenge.
Yes.
Have you done a challenge?
Oh,
we've been doing it for, we've been doing it big time and it works, you know. And so we're all about like reducing the bulk.
Just making it efficient and getting through security without having all the liquids.
Right.
We have a great face wipe called Takeoffs, which eliminates your makeup cleanser, your toner, your moisturizer. Everything's in one wipe.
Wow.
So it's really
it's cool.
Fabulous.
I mean, just to get through security, you're right. I mean, you don't have to give up any of your toiletries and stuff.
Makes sense why you called it the Savvy Traveler.
Yeah. Have you ever had anything confiscated? Once I got my serum, it was like $65 and it was a 4-ounce bottle.
Yeah.
Okay. Not a 3-ounce. So the guy took it. I was like, oh, I knew you're giving it to your wife. Like, I was so mad.
Oh, they probably look for that.
I was like, oh my gosh. I felt like just pouring it all out of my hands right there. Just
exactly.
like for, you know.
Yeah, it's like, what if I pour out 1 ounce?
Yeah.
We
good? Uh-huh. Yeah. Nope, it wasn't. And I was so mad. Yeah. So, right.
So this is a good idea. You know, you put everything in your, you can put things in your suitcase and then you have these to take with
you. Yeah,
you
can carry them in your carry-on, your purse. We have them in our glove boxes in our car. You know, it's great for moms, anybody that's going from meeting to meet, sales reps on the go, you know, in between meetings, actors when
so
they have their stage makeup.
Yeah. It's for everybody, basically.
It's for everybody. We have a great hand and body sanitizer, which has aloe and vitamin E.
Is that this one, Clean Offs?
It's Clean Ups. Clean Offs is for surfaces. So it's like a real high performance surface cleaner for you know, like your tray tables, or no one ever really cleans doorknobs or light switches.
Wow, you
or
guys thought of everything.
So, yeah, because we kept getting sick. So we're like, what can we do so that we just stop getting sick every time we come back from a trip? It's just not fun.
Is that the best way to start a business? You have a problem and you solve it?
Yeah, that's like, it's what
seems to work for us.
Yeah, totally. We have a problem and we're like, well, let's just make a business.
And we have lots of problems, so I guess we'll be in business for a long time.
That's great.
I just handed Sam this flashlight, and he was looking at it like, what are you handing me?
Oh, it's a black light.
It's a black light.
To see the dust and dirt?
And anything else that you could possibly get.
Right.
I said, like, human matter.
Where do you look for that stuff?
So
on the
seats? Turn out the lights in your hotel room, completely black it out, and then you can turn, you know, pass it over light switches, beds, the sheets, the floors, the bathrooms. And what we've found during our research, it's really the most random places, like light switches. Everybody's handling them, and there's just like 100 fingerprints on it.
Right.
Ugh. Yes.
But you know what? Do we really want to know where all the germs are? I mean, we wouldn't touch anything.
But if we can clean them and prevent getting sick, you would want to know.
Then you use your savvy traveler clean off wipe.
And just hit the areas that if you do a once over, you know, look at light switches, look at the remote control, look at the phones. Those are the hard surfaces.
Those are like the hot spots for germs.
That's true, yeah.
Would you say you guys are germs? Germaphobes?
I am a little, OCD, I mean, ADD, OMFG, I don't know.
All the letters.
Yeah.
Wow. So this is cool because, I mean, especially for travel, you touch so many things, you know, while you're traveling in the airport and the plane and the hotels, like you said.
The ATM machine.
You know, you want to have something to sanitize your hands without having to take...
You know what, another weird one that
without
we didn't think of was...
bottle of Purell.
Yeah, exactly.
Menus. Right. So restaurant menus, think about everybody's handling them. Gross. And then what's the first thing you do? You eat with your hands. No. So then you're like, no, that's what we were wondering. Why do we keep getting sick on these trips? Right. And so we've kind of looked, you know, kind of peeling it all back. We were like, let's start at one. And then what are we, what's happening? What are we touching? What are we handling? Well, you know.
Well, we were popping airborne like crazy, but everything really is surface borne because we're touching.
That's how viruses are actually passed. So I have some gross facts to talk about. Like, I get like gross.
If you want to hear
them,
go for it. Lay it on us.
I'm like, these are so sick. Okay.
Well, if we're talking about germs and stuff, it's probably gross.
Yeah, so, well, I thought this one was kind of, okay, here's a fun one. Like, kissing is actually safer than a handshake. Wait, back up. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. she realized I'm starting to think about it now. Wow. That's interesting.
Isn't that interesting? Because your hand, people's hands have been all over the place.
Yeah, and you don't know where they've been. Yeah. You know, I mean, sometimes I think about this, you know. I mean, you know, you see someone leaving the bathroom without washing their hands.
Oh, man, I'm like a police officer. I'm like, should I wash your hands?
Right. And somebody's going to shake those hands.
Yeah.
You know? So, but that's the thing. It's funny, but some time ago, well, a long time ago, we had someone who promoted like doing away with handshakes. They were like an activist for doing away with handshakes in our society.
Yeah,
for many reasons.
Howie Mandel,
like this.
Isn't he one that only touches elbows?
He's like,
fist pumps, elbows.
Exactly.
Like, I mean,
like
what's
that.
Next? An Eskimo kiss? Like, come on. Like,
right.
Yeah,
I don't know. And we've developed this over the centuries. I don't see how we're going to like stop shaking hands, but it's very unsanitary thing, I think.
It is, yeah.
Wow.
So, like, you can kind of go in and then, like, fix your hair. Like,
right, yeah. So, what are some other gross things?
So, another thing is, every time you flush the toilet, thousands of bacteria is spread out in the air and it hits your toothbrush in the bathroom.
Wow.
So, if you're in a public bathroom, imagine what you're doing if you're trying to brush your teeth, like at an airport. We've all done it,
right?
You know, before a meeting, whatever. Imagine what you're doing to yourself. You're just asking to get sick. So I thought that was pretty sick.
Wow. It is. It
with
is,
our
my
products,
God.
No water, no problem.
Yeah,
you know,
so
you
that's
just don't
the
need
whole
water
thing.
For
is,
anything.
That's true. You don't have to run to the bathroom for everything.
Exactly. Yeah. Wow. You can just discreetly take care of business.
So sinks have 400 times more germs than even a toilet.
Really?
Yes.
Why is that?
400 times more because people are handling them
after they use the bathroom.
And so you're not washing off the handles. You're washing your hands, and then you're touching the handle again. That, oh my God.
And then, like, you have to touch the door, and it's a whole thing. And then you're just dirty.
They have doors that have, like, these round hoops that you can put your arm
through. The wrist.
Where are those?
There's been a few. I got my arm stuck in one, though.
Me too.
Not made for all sizes.
Yeah, I bent down, and then, like, I got my hair stuck in it.
One size does not fit all.
Yeah, it was like, well, you have to be coordinated. You know, that didn't really work for me.
I do like those, like, dryers that you put your hands on.
Oh, I love that thing.
We want to use those for our hair.
Yeah, I want to get, like, amazing. A blow dryer thing and stick, like, I want to try to stick my hair in there, but then I'm afraid it'll get stuck.
Yeah, like a vacuum.
Yeah.
Right.
For those of you just joining us, we're talking to Tina Aldatz, right?
Yes.
I said it right, Aldatz, and Margie Flores, and they have the company Savvy Traveler, and you have all these great products, different wipes for different purposes.
Where can people buy your products?
SavvyTraveler.com. BeASavvyTraveler.com. We're at I Love LA, Terminal 5 at LAX.
Oh, I know that terminal. Yes. Isn't that by Virgin?
Yes.
It's the Delta Terminal, actually.
Oh, Delta.
Yeah, it's the Delta Terminal.
That's a great place to display them, right?
Tom Bradley International. Yeah.
We're in San Diego Airport, in San Francisco Airport. So we're spreading our wings.
Yeah,
no
very
pun
cool.
intended.
Yeah, there you go. And, excuse me, how large is the company now at this point?
Oh,
how
you're many? Looking at it. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
There's...
Six of us?
Yeah. Six of us so far. I mean, we just started this company this year.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And so you have... Now, so you have companies manufacturing this. You don't need to own a factory to make this.
No.
Correct.
Right.
And again, are they made in the USA?
California.
Yes, they are.
Even better. Nice. It's even better. California made. So, you know, we only manufactured foot pedals in the USA, and we're big proponents of keeping manufacturing here in the States. So,
And you're helping the drought because you don't need water for these products.
You know
that
what?
Is such a good,
it's a
point,
good
Tracy.
One. Yeah.
That's your next angle.
Yeah. Here, Tracy. Hello.
Yeah, add this to the product benefits.
Yeah. So we're a woman-owned California company.
Mm-hmm.
And we're Hispanic.
There you go.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, proof that you can do whatever you want and be very successful. It doesn't matter your background as opposed to what Donald Trump says. And I think very intelligent people, you know, you're very business savvy, which is cool.
And you're best friends. So how does that dynamic work and remaining as best friends?
Well, I think when we were just talking about earlier, her being Lucy and me being Ethel, I think we have a yin and yang thing going. So whatever she's really good at, I'm not, and vice versa. So
we
have a great balance. Yeah, we're a good team, and we really respect each other, and we really, really like each other. So
I don't want to, like, piss her off and then let her, she can't leave, because then I'd be so sorry. You know, it happens every once
fight,
in a while.
But then,
like,
5 minutes later, we'll make up.
I'm like, are you still mad at me?
I'm like, no.
We're all cold.
Bloody Mary? Okay.
Yeah, sounds good.
It solves everything.
It really does. Bloody Marys and margaritas really help.
Yeah.
My best friend and I are like Kathy Lee and Hoda. So just pour us a glass of wine.
Well, we're like AbFab, really, is what we like in ourselves, too. Yeah.
Do you have advice for any women going into business with a friend?
Yeah, I think, you know, like we said, know what you do best. So I do like the marketing. I like the geeky, you know, kind of accounting, logistics stuff. And then Margie does the sales. I don't interface. I mean, I interface with customers on the merchandising and marketing side, but not when it gets down to the sales and the purchase orders, because it just hurts me too much. So
yeah, exactly.
You know, it's we do mostly everything together, because we sit right next to each other. We communicate very, very well, and I think that's the key, is to communicate and make sure that we're on the same page.
It's kind of like a football team. Like, we have a huddle before we go in. Like, even before we came in here, we were like, all right, you're going to say this, I'll say that.
It's just become second nature to us. But, you know, I think my biggest advice is make sure you go into business with anyone that you trust wholeheartedly, because this is a big, big commitment.
Right. It's like a marriage.
Exactly.
Right. Exactly. Wow. So, Tina, in the last few minutes, let's also talk about your book, From Stilettos to the Stock Exchange, Inside the Life of a Serial Entrepreneur. Sounds exciting. I mean, when did you write the book?
It took me 2 years. Uh-huh. It just got published, so this has been out for 3 months.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. So you have one of the very first
copies. So the baby is finally out,
The baby's out, yeah. And it was an interesting thing. Going back to what you said, you know, no matter what your background is, no matter where you come from, and I'll tell you, there's some secrets in that book. It talks about how I was brought up. My parents were born here in East L.A., alcohol and drug problems. I came from extreme socioeconomically disadvantaged upbringing, not traditional. I lived in a shelter for battered women when we were small kids, lived on welfare. I do not have a high school diploma. I finished 10th grade. That's my highest level of education.
Wow.
And I've been working since I was 15.
Wow.
So whatever Trump says about Mexicans, it's not true. We work hard, you know?
Right. And you don't really need higher education to succeed either.
Not ever.
You know?
It's just school isn't for everyone.
Right.
Trust me, if I had the opportunity to go to school, I'm a real proponent for sending kids to school, which is why I started the mentor program. But it really talks about how to start a business and, you know, what mistakes you can make and obstacles. Like, you know, I think one of the biggest things that people kept asking us for was a business plan. So I have secrets of how to write a business plan.
Wow, cool. Yeah. I know that's one of the harder parts.
It really is. It's very difficult and things seem so complicated and structured. But if you can answer common sense questions, you know.
You're forcing yourself to focus, really, and answer questions, like you said, you know.
Yeah.
And that's what a business plan's about. You committed to write. And then it's there.
Yes.
We have sort of a roadmap.
Yes.
Yeah. And so the book is from stilettos to the stock exchange, Tina Aldott. And so this can be found probably anywhere, right?
Amazon,
Kindle, Nook, all of those. Goodreads. It's all over the place.
Sounds online.
And then, of course, in bookstores and at LAX, too.
Wow. I can't wait to read it.
Thank you.
Yeah, very cool. And great packaging, too. I mean, obviously you have...
Oh, that's me on the cover in my swimming pool.
Really?
Yeah, I was underwater.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
I said as an entrepreneur, sometimes you feel like you're in over your head, and then other times you feel like you need to just come up for air.
Right.
And this amazing photographer that Margie met specialized in underwater photography.
Wow.
So... yeah.
That's like a new thing.
I know.
They did an episode of that on The Bachelorette.
Yeah,
where
I thought
it was like
the
engagement photos or something.
Really?
Yeah. I thought it was all like the first one, and then I started seeing like a bunch of it underwater. I was like, damn it. Like,
wow. That's cool, because you
so
would
cool.
think it's like Photoshop or something.
Yeah,
you think
it's fake, but it's oh my God, I drank like a gallon of water that day. My cousin
not
had to pull
sexy.
Me out. Yeah.
You worked for it.
Yeah, man, it was serious.
Wow. Very cool. But I know a book is like a baby. You know, you work on it for a while, finally it comes out. And it's there, you know, it's there forever.
Yeah.
So that's a big year for you guys, this business and the book in the same year?
Yes.
Oh.
So I've been doing some great speeches at colleges and universities for the business schools and commencement speeches for graduations, kind of getting kids motivation to get out there. And, you know, if you're considering being an entrepreneur, this is kind of like a roadmap.
Right. And that mentoring program, do you still have it?
Yes, it's called the Hispanic 100 organization. So it's Hispanic100.org.
Okay.
And our mentor program serves 18 to 25-year-olds of Latino descent.
Sounds good.
In L.A.?
And they
Orange County.
Orange County,
right.
So
they get
like their own mentor and stuff
that? We assign a mentor. I scrutinize every application. We have an executive director, and we have amazing mentors. I mean, one of our most famous mentors was actually the first Mexican United States treasurer. So her signature is on dollar bills.
Dollar bills.
Yes.
Wow,
yes,
how cool.
Rosario Marin.
Very
yes.
nice. Very nice. Well, you guys definitely have a full life. You know, I mean, you guys are doing just about everything in the book. Anything else that we didn't touch on that you want to add real quick?
I mean, I think
see you
just,
came
just
with notes and everything. You're totally prepared.
I know. I just didn't want to blow it.
Right?
No, you never blow it. You come in here, we always find things to talk about. Very cool. So give the website again for Savvy Traveler.
Yes, it's www.beasavvytraveler.com.
Okay, sounds good. And people can find these, and also they can find them in retail places as well, right?
We're going to be on Amazon.
Oh, perfect. I order everything.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Thank you. Amazon Prime, everything.
Yes.
Me too. I'm totally.
Beauty.com, Travelsmith. We're going to be in Nordstrom's for holiday travel gifting.
Nordstrom carries the foot pedals, right?
Yes,
I've seen them a million times. Yeah. I'm like, I know them.
Yeah. Nordstrom's are great, great friends of ours. And again, it comes down to reputation. If we didn't have a good reputation, they would really, they just would never reopen the door for us.
That's so I did true. This we did a cause marketing campaign in connection with Miracle Flights for Kids, and what we're talking about is takeoffs. And so we're promoting kind of like that, you know, the ice bucket challenge. Well, we're actually challenging women to take off their makeup, and I did this on national television about a month ago on Home Shopping Network. I took off all my stage makeup with using takeoffs. So we're saying take off for takeoff, to let kids take off.
Exactly.
Yeah. So Miracle Flights for Kids flies in sick children to surgeons that will do life-altering or life-changing, life-saving operations.
So they're
operations.
Able to get the care anywhere in the country that they need, and it provides the transportation for not only them, but their parents or their caregivers.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's a beautiful, and you know, Tina, having been a pediatric burn victim, she was lucky enough to be transported to only Orange County from LA, but that was the only
burn center in our country.
Oh, wow. Had she lived in New York, she would have never been able to get, you know, transported.
The proper care that
exactly.
I have.
Right. But now you can with Miracle Flights.
Yeah. And you're here to say if you're going to walk on coals, make sure Tony Robbins is nearby.
That's
right,
man.
Tracy actually did that. And,
I don't recommend it. It wasn't one of those things for me, man. It was totally an accident.
Yeah, I'm sure you didn't plan on it either.
Not
all right. Well, ladies, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
So the company Savvy Traveler, of course, get all the wipes and everything, the book. I mean, you guys got so much stuff going on, so this is really cool. So Tina Aldotts, Margie Flores, I get all the names right,
yes,
right?
Yes, you did.
I always have
Thank
to get
you
them
so
right.
Much.
Thank you so much for joining us. Much success with your products and everything.
Thank you.
And come back to let us know, you know. And
we would love to.
Yeah, and we would like a piece of that $14 million. Just a piece of it.
It's already spent.
Well, you did it once. You'll do it again. All right. And Tracy, thank you so much for putting it all together for us. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thanks, Jen. And we'll see everybody tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.